Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Donald Trump has made a phone call to Vladimir Putin after meeting Volodymyr Zelensky and European leaders in the White House last night. On social media, President Trump said that he began the arrangements for a meeting at a location to be determined, and that after that meeting takes place, we'll have a trilat, as he calls it, which would be the two presidents plus myself, according to Donald Trump. Well, President Zelensky said he's ready to meet President Putin with President Trump, but there's no timeline for that yet.
Is there a date for you to meet with President Putin?
Date?
Yes.
No, we don't have any date. No, we don't have any date. We just conformed after this productive meeting with the President and then with all our colleagues, with the partners, we confirmed that we are ready for a trilateral meeting. I said, all is so, Ukraine will never stop on the way to peace, and we are ready for any kind of format, but on the level of leaders.
Well, this all comes after the White House hosted many of the European leaders who are part of the Coalition of the Willing, with President Trump saying European nations will be taking a lot of the responsibility in a peace deal.
The Alaska summit reinforced my belief that while difficult, peace is within reach, and I believe that in a very significant step, President Putin agreed that Russia would accept security guarantees for Ukraine, and this is one of the key points that we need to consider, and we're going to be considering that at the table also, like who will do what. Essentially, I'm optimistic that collectively we can reach an agreement that would deter any future aggression against Ukraine, and I actually think there won't be. I think that's even largely overrated, but we're going to find out, and I think that the European nations are going to take a lot of the burden. We're going to help them, and we're going to make it very secure.
Well, the choice of clothing of the Ukrainian president was also raised in the Oval Office by journalist Brian Glenn. Now, he's the man who originally brought it up during Volodymyr Zelensky's first visit to the Trump White House in February.
You look fabulous in that suit.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, look, you look good.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, looks good.
I said someone that attacked you last time. Yeah. See, now I remember that.
Yeah, I apologize to you. You look wonderful. No, my first question for you, President Zelensky.
In the same suit. You see, I changed you.
Maybe yours is much better than mine.
Yeah, he did point out that Brian Glenn was wearing the same suit as he had on in February, which was a good comeback from President Zelensky. Well, in the past few minutes, the UK's Keir Starmer and France's Emmanuel Macron have announced that they're going to co-chair a meeting of Ukraine's Coalition of the Willing later on today to work on those security guarantees for Ukraine. Well, for further analysis, I'm joined now by BBC diplomatic correspondent Paul Adams and by the former commander of US forces in Europe, retired US Army Lieutenant General Ben Hodges. And Ben, I'll come to you first, and good morning to you. Firstly, thank you for being with us. Now, we heard about the promise of security guarantees for Ukraine. We've very little detail, though, on how that would work. In your assessment, what is needed and what might be acceptable both to the Europeans and the Americans?
Well, Claire, I have to say, thanks for having me on again. I'm very skeptical about anything that I heard from President Trump or the Trump administration yesterday or the preceding weeks and months. He has several times threatened harsh measures against Russia for things and has never followed through on it. Putin is the only world leader that he refuses to criticize. He can't even acknowledge that Russia invaded Ukraine or that Russia should withdraw their troops. And so I was impressed with the participation yesterday of all these European leaders who came to Washington for this very unique sort of meeting, because number one, they don't trust Putin. They're not confused about who the aggressor is, but I think they also are very concerned that President Trump is going to sell out the Ukrainians. And so that was an impressive show of solidarity yesterday by Europe with President Zelensky.
Mm-hmm. Just looking at what the Americans might be willing to do, though, when it comes to the security guarantees, I mean, things like intelligence and logistics, even air and sea patrols, they mightn't be too difficult for them to countenance. But what seems to be off the table are American boots on the ground. Do you agree?
Well, I think that, first of all, when we talk about a security guarantee, What does that mean? I mean, Budapest Memorandum was a security guarantee that was not worth the paper it was written on. And so anything that's not NATO is going to have a lot of holes in it. And so the fact that the American president has not been able to identify Russia as the aggressor, you know, the Russians see this. And so they will be very skeptical of any so-called security guarantee, which puts so much of a burden on our European allies and friends to deal with this. Now, look, the fact is we haven't even used all of our economic measures. We haven't used frozen Russian assets. We haven't stopped Russian oil and gas from being exported, things that we could do that don't require a single soldier to be on the ground inside Ukraine.
So you're saying that if this is not a NATO measure, it's not going to work. That's your opinion.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, tell me the mission. If I'm the commander of U.S. forces or British forces or German or whatever, what is it you want me to do? And do I have rules of engagement that allow me to immediately shoot back? What is the chain of command? This is not some real estate deal in Manhattan we're talking about. We're talking about putting European troops, American troops, Canadians on the ground involved where they would be in a situation. If they're going to be credible, they have to be able to use force. The Russians have to know that they can use force. And I don't see President Trump able to or willing to do that.
I mean, do you think President Trump was saying to the European leaders, perhaps not overtly, but in some form, this is really your problem. We're willing to stand behind you when it comes to security guarantees, but practically it will be you guys who are leading out on this one.
Well, I think it's fair that Europe would bear the largest burden in terms of if you're going to have any troops on the ground. But, you know, we put up our Air Force and our Navy and air defense to shoot down Iranian missiles to protect Israel. We're not even willing to do that from outside of Ukraine to help Ukraine shoot down Russian missiles. So I'm sorry to sound so skeptical, which is not my nature, but these are the hard things that have to be understood and clarified before we start sending women and men of our armed forces into Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. So the other way to deal with this, you're suggesting, is clamp down on Russia in other ways, you know, by completely stopping their ability to export gas and oil, making money, in other words, to fund the war and wait them out.
Yeah, I mean, right now, Russia probably has enough troops to do with this what they're doing at the rate of loss for about another 12 to 18 months. That's it. And their economy would be wrecked if they were not able to sell oil and gas to India, China, Turkey, Hungary, and so on. So there's so much more we could be doing. But let's get the mission right. What is the strategic outcome we want to achieve? And that's the failure of the Biden administration and now the Trump administration.
And how do you think the Russians will feel having watched all of that yesterday?
I think that they are probably a little bit concerned, not so much by Trump, but by the fact that Europe seems to be finding its strategic backbone. And I was impressed with what different leaders said. They are not confused about who the bad guy is here. And Europe's economy and industry and populations and technological advantages, when combined, and I include UK in this, obviously, dwarfs Russia. So I think maybe they might be concerned about that.
Yeah, I mean, you say they're not confused about who the bad guy is here, and yet we see them sitting around the table with Donald Trump telling him how wonderful he is to be going on manoeuvres with this and trying to solve it, even though everybody is extremely concerned about how he has handled Vladimir Putin and Russia.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I could barely keep my lunch down yesterday watching this on TV. It was revolting. But these leaders also understand that their first responsibility is to protect their own populations and to protect their strategic interests. And if that means having to sit at a table with a person that maybe they don't fully respect or trust, but they need to keep the United States on side inside NATO, then I think they're willing to hold their nose.
Well, you got that sense as well, didn't you, even from President Zelensky,
yeah,
that there's a bit of a game being played here, right?
Well, look, this whole thing about what he wears is sickening. And this smarmy journalist, so-called journalist who made the comment about his suit yesterday, you know, this is the boyfriend of Marjorie Taylor Greene. And the only reason, that's the only reason that guy gets access into the Oval Office. Mm-hmm. So not exactly a bright moment of American journalism.
Yeah, but, you know, President Zelensky did get a good shot back at him yesterday. I'm sure you appreciated that.
It was brilliant.
Thank you so much for being with us. That's General Ben Hodges. And as I said, Paul Adams is with us as well, BBC's diplomatic correspondent. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
So we heard Ben's analysis of what he saw yesterday. Undoubtedly, there was a much warmer diplomatic tone yesterday. And many said that President Zelensky was very careful in how he stepped through those White House meetings. But do you think much was agreed by way of substance?
No. I mean, look, General Hodges already highlighted some of the major issues that still have to be resolved in terms of what security guarantees will mean in the future. That is just a huge and complex set of issues. I should add to what he said that, you know, there isn't really even a willingness on the part of the so-called coalition of the willing, led by Britain and France, to put troops anywhere near harm's way. I mean, the kind of coalition that's being envisaged so far is one where there is support to the Ukrainian military to regenerate its armed forces, some kind of policing of the skies over Ukraine, rather along the lines of the sort of thing we already see NATO doing in the Baltics, and also some kind of naval assistance. There's no suggestion from anybody of a willingness to put troops along a kind of frozen front line to act as kind of traditional peacekeepers. So, you know, that's not going to be the mission. I think what the Europeans would like from America is a willingness to offer the kind of logistical and intelligence support that really only the United States can muster. And Donald Trump indicated in a very, very, you know, frustratingly vague way yesterday that he might be up for that. But that is obviously going to be the subject of intense negotiations, as is the question of territory. Now, that did not come up yesterday, but we know that what Vladimir Putin wants and what Donald Trump appears to endorse is the idea that Ukraine must give up not just the territory that's already been taken by Russia, but a bit more. And that is a bitter pill. That is something the Ukrainians have said they cannot countenance. And that is also going to be a major stumbling block. And that's perhaps why, those two reasons, why we don't yet have the prospect of any kind of meeting involving President Zelensky and President Putin. I think only when those issues have been thrashed out by their respective officials will we get anywhere close to such an encounter.
And we don't know, do we, what Ukraine will deem acceptable when it comes to a security guarantee either, you know, whether that logistical and intelligence support that you mention will be enough.
I think it's going to take all sorts of forms. I think the Ukrainians recognize that Ukraine is not going to be swarming with heavily armed Western troops willing and ready to confront Russian forces in the event of a breakdown of the ceasefire. So it is going to be the kind of things we've already talked about, but it is also going to be an American willingness, for example, to buy Ukrainian drones. That's something that we saw being reported yesterday, an enormous deal in which the United States would invest in Ukraine's burgeoning and increasingly important drone industry. Also, of course, the whole question of the willingness of the United States to sell equipment to Europe, which then the Europeans would then pass on to Ukraine. And, you know, that's vital because it includes things like the Patriot missile system, which is so important to secure Ukraine's skies. So I think, you know, security guarantees is not going to look like anything that we are necessarily that familiar with. I think it'll take a number of forms. We've heard this notion being put about, which seems to be the, Giorgio Meloni's idea, the Prime Minister of Italy, that these are going to be Article 5 light arrangements. In other words, a reference to the collective defense agreement among NATO allies. No one is suggesting that Ukraine is about to become a NATO member, but that it could benefit from the same kind of protection in principle that NATO members enjoy through being part of the alliance. So that, you know, there's a lot to be discussed here, and you know, I don't anticipate that any of this is going to be a quick process. The fact that that Keir Starmer has said that those discussions are going to take place in Washington today, with officials flying in to join those discussions, to suggest that the Europeans are very keen to kind of capitalize on this sense of momentum, which, of course, Donald Trump is responsible for generating, mm-hmm. but to try and make sure that their input is constant and that they keep Donald Trump focused on what really matters, because they know that, you know, the next time he talks to Vladimir Putin, the whole thing could come off the rails, and they want to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Paul, thank you very much for your time. Paul Adams there, BBC's diplomatic correspondent, and we'll keep you up to date if anything emerges over the course of the morning in relation to that story.